middle of our series, Incarnation, our Christmas series entitled Incarnation. We talked about how that God came, that God was Emmanuel, God with us, that he came. One of the things about the Incarnation is God came. He came and dwelt in our situation, in our suffering, in our pain, God came in Jesus Christ. Then last week we talked about that God redeemed, amen, that God didn't just come, but he redeemed. He released us. He renewed us. He freed us unto new life. This morning, I want to talk about God did the impossible. God did the impossible. When you think about the incarnation, and this morning we're going to focus in on the virgin birth. When you look at that, you know that God did the impossible. Let me just preface what I'm going to say this morning before we read our scripture, that the incarnation and the virgin birth are two different things, but inextricably linked. And I'm not going to go into that in deep detail in this message, but I just want you to understand the incarnation is the whole aspect of God becoming man, laying his Godhead and coming as a man, living, being a God, human, and the whole aspect there in Philippians chapter 2 that it describes how he became a servant, humbled himself, and so forth. The virgin birth is the process or method through which God accomplished that, through which God began that. And we're going to talk about the virgin birth this morning. So let's go to Matthew, the first chapter. It's where we've been reading. We're going to read it again this morning. And then I'm going to pray, and I want to talk a little bit about the virgin birth specifically. Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th verse. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That's a phrase that we're going to look at again in a moment. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace and had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That's another phrase we're going to look at in just a moment. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. By the way, you're going to want to be here next week. I'm going to speak specifically about Joseph and Mary next week, and it's going to be the most personal of all of this series. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you that this morning, as we come to these few moments, that you will enter into this moment by the power of your Holy Spirit, whom you said is our teacher, and show us, teach us this morning about this subject that we wrestle with sometimes at Christmas about the virgin birth. Help us to hear what the Word says, what the Spirit says to us about the virgin birth, and what it means to us in our life today. Holy Spirit, we thank you that if anything of eternal value is done today, it'll be done because of you. And we pray that you come and do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When it comes to miracles, and in particular the virgin birth, because it is Christmas time, when it comes to that, we have a dilemma. But the dilemma in some way is that of our own making, or not necessarily our own making, but the making of culture, the culture that we live in. And that is that it positions, our culture positions miracles and the laws of nature as in contrast to each other. That either one or the other is true, that either miracles are true or the laws of nature are true, and we position them against each other. This has not always been the case. It is certainly the case in the modern age, but it has not always been the case that that was the case. C.S. Lewis, on the other hand, positions miracles and the laws of nature in a different way. C.S. Lewis, by the way, if you're not familiar, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He was not only a great novelist, but many believe he is perhaps the greatest Christian mind in the modern era, the greatest Christian apologist as far as being able to think through things. And he positions the laws of nature and miracles in a different way. Listen, I've got a couple of quotes. Listen to what he says. Nothing can seem extraordinary until you discover what is ordinary. Wow. I mean, you just got to stop and think about that a moment. Belief in miracles, I'm still quoting here, belief in miracles, far from depending on an ignorance of the laws of nature, is only possible insofar as those laws are known. And then he goes on to say, miracles do not, in fact, break the laws of nature. What he's saying is, you cannot know what is extraordinary unless you know what is ordinary. You don't have to be ignorant of the laws of nature to embrace and believe in miracles. In fact, when you understand the way things should work, when it works otherwise, then something more is going on. And he says, miracles do not, in fact, break the laws of nature. See if I can illustrate what I'm talking about this morning. If someone gave me $100, I'm asked Brittany to give me $100. That alone is a miracle. Yes. Yes. Now just stick with me for a moment. If Brittany gave me $100, she gave me $250. What's that? Hold on to that. Someone gave me $250. If they gave me $100, and I put that $100 in my pocket, right? And then in a little while, if I took that $100, if I took it out of my pocket, and it wasn't $100, but it was $200, what would you say? Hallelujah is what you'd say. Right? Hallelujah is what you'd say. And Brittany was and Brittany is saying, I want it back, all of it back. Here's what you would not say. Here's what you would not say. If I took $100 and put it in my pocket and pulled out $200, you would not say the laws of mathematics no longer works. You wouldn't say that violated the laws of mathematics. The laws of 50 plus 50 is still 100. 50 plus 50 is not 200. You would not say the laws of mathematics no longer works. Nor would you say the laws of economics no longer work. Right? You wouldn't say that. But what you would say is someone at some point put something extra in the pocket. You following me? See, when miracles happen, it is not that the laws of nature, the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the laws of astronomy, the laws of chemistry, that they no longer work. When you see a miracle, it is that some hand from somewhere has added something extra to the equation or the circumstance or the situation. The reason we have a tough time believing in miracles is because we, in our modern scientific age, we position them opposite the laws of nature, and that's not the case whatsoever. So in the case to the virgin birth, which is what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, I want you to keep that in mind. The virgin birth does not mean that the laws of biology do no longer work. What the virgin birth meant is that the hand of Almighty God added something extra to the equation to do something that could not be done by natural laws alone. Wow. There it is in one phrase this morning. That's it. But no, I'm not going to stop. You're not getting that miracle this morning. I do have a little more that I want to say, and I want to emphasize. Let me. Here's the thing. Mary and Joseph were betrothed. In the ancient world, that means it was a legally binding agreement that usually lasted for a year. They were kept physically apart. It was meant to test the faithfulness and the purity to the commitment to each other. And then in a year, the groom would come to the bride's house and would pay the rest of the dowry, and then in a grand procession would proceed back with his bride to his home, where they would then consummate the marriage, have the ceremony, consummate the marriage, and then raise a family and so forth. But here's the problem. In the middle of that betrothal period, Mary, it says, was found to be pregnant. Now, that's a problem. Right? That's the problem. But Matthew, I want to highlight a couple of verses, a couple of phrases here from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, tells us how that happened. It explains to us how that happened, and that is, notice what it says, verse 18, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Pregnant is an interesting word here. It means, it is a compound word that means womb and have. In other words, she was found to have a child in the womb. This is the nature of what happened. But notice what it says. But she was found to be pregnant through or by or because of or having been acted on by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit there literally means, holy means pure. Spirit means breath of life or the essence of life. The essence of life. And then Matthew goes on and says, when Joseph, again, I'm talking more on Joseph and Mary next week, but I want to concentrate on the virgin birth this morning. When Joseph said he's going to put her away, the angel came and says to him, confirms what Matthew's already said, and that is that which is conceived. Conceived means to birth, to procreate. It is most often interpreted by two simple words, that is father and born. Father and born. In other words, that is father born from the Holy Spirit. So what Matthew is making a simple yet profound statement here. A simple but profound statement here, and he's saying this. The child that is found in Mary's womb has been born by God the Father by the pure breath and life of the Holy Spirit of God. So in other words, what Matthew is saying here is that God came and brought something extra to the equation. He came and brought something extra to the situation. He came and brought something extra to the circumstance so that what happened was miraculous. It wasn't that I've heard this tried to be explained in many, many ways before. And I just got to be honest with you, trying to explain the virgin birth is like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. It just doesn't work, but it's just kind of hard to get your hands around. But the thing that you need to understand is this. It is not that God suspended the laws of biology. It's not that God suspended the laws of nature there. It is that by His Holy Spirit, God breathed. By His Holy Spirit, God breathed. And when God breathed, He added something to the equation that there was not there before. He added something. In fact, Luke actually records it. It's interesting. And again, you got to be here next week. But Mary says, when the angel says, you are going to be pregnant with child, Mary asks a really good question. How can that be? I'm a virgin. She asks a really good question. The angel answers her and says to her this, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the highest. The word power there means the immediate life and essence or energy of the Godhead, of God Almighty. The immediate life and energy of God, watch this, will overshadow you, will conceal you. The word there is conceal. So that what is born in you is to be called the Son of Almighty God. So what we have happening here in the virgin birth is this, is that God takes the natural and then adds something to it that is extra natural. When we use the word supernatural, many times people get lost. It is supernatural, but sometimes people get lost. He adds something that is extra natural, that is beyond the natural realm, so that which is impossible to man becomes possible to God. In other words, in fact, the angel actually says this to Mary. He says, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. And again, I'm just talking about the virgin birth, and I want to put it in the whole context. This idea of the virgin birth should not shock us so. That God comes and overshadows, it should not shock us so. And I say that for two reasons. First is this. This same Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, where it says the face of the deep, it was dark and it was void, it was formless. And watch, and the Holy Spirit, it says, hovered over the face of the deep. You do understand, don't you, that the same Holy Spirit that overshadows Mary in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep. And in him hovering over the face of the deep, the Holy Spirit created all of life as you and I know it. The Holy Spirit created all of life. He created the earth. He created the heavens and the earth, the stars. He created the animal kingdom. He created man in the image of God. So it should not shock us. It should not surprise us that the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit can overshadow a virgin girl. And from that virgin girl and through that virgin girl can produce something extraordinary, extra natural, such that God does the impossible so that, watch that, so that you and I, when we think of the virgin birth, when we think of the virgin birth, we know that God did the impossible. So as we think on the virgin birth and what that means to you and I, what that means to you and I, not only should it not seem so strange to us, should it not seem so strange to us because this is the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the deep and created all, if he created all of creation, he certainly can hover over a virgin girl and can create life in her beyond the ordinary, beyond the natural, because God brought something extra to the equation. But the second reason this should not seem so strange to us is that on lesser degrees, or less profound ways, God does this all the time. The fact that, listen, God overshadowing us, God going beyond what we can do, God going beyond what is natural, God going beyond what is normal, God going beyond the natural sequence of events, that shouldn't surprise, because God does this all the time. Just not necessarily on as profound a level. Let me just see. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your heads begin to shake when I begin to say, "Have you never had an occasion when you were talking with someone, and as you were talking with them, and as you were counseling with them, and as you were sharing with them, you said something profound?" And when you stepped back away from it, you might not have admitted it to anybody else, but within yourself, you said, that was too profound for me. Yeah. Right? Guys, your wife knew it was too profound for you, whether you admit it or not. She said to herself, that was God. That was not him. What was that? In the normal sequence of events, in the natural sequence of events, nothing that profound would have happened, but God added something extra to the equation so that the possible, that was the impossible to you, became possible with God because God added something extra to the equation. And it happens all of the time in our lives. When God is moving and God is situating all the time in our life. I think of, when I was thinking through this, there's so many examples. But one that I think of goes back nearly 3 years ago. And when Danielle came to us about 2.5 years ago and said to us, she said, I feel like God is putting in my heart my last year of my education before I graduate with a degree in sign language interpretation. I believe God wants me to travel all over the U.S. and hear the various dialects. You may not know it, but sign language has dialects. Just like there is a southern dialect, and a Western dialect and a Northern dialect, and whatever they speak in California. There are also those dialects in sign language. And while her mother, while Geraldine and I were quite apprehensive about this, Danielle knew this was something God was saying to her. Our young girl to travel all over the United States and travel with and spend time ministering in these deaf churches, learning the dialects. And it just was strange to us. But do you realize the bigger story? It was on that trip that Danielle, coming back across the country, walked into the home of the national director of the Assembly of God Deaf Ministries, walked into the home and walked face to face into Josiah Babin. See, in the natural course of events, Danielle never would have gone across the country. In the natural course of events, she never would have made that trip. In the natural course of events, she never would have met Josiah's daddy. But God added something extra to the equation so that God did the impossible. God did the impossible. What's that have to do with us today? Pastor, what does that have to do with you and I today? Listen to me. Here it is. The virgin birth reminds us that God did the impossible, and he still does. Are you hearing me this morning? God did the impossible, and he still does. I want this morning to remember the virgin birth and know that God, with God, nothing is impossible. You do understand this morning, don't you? That God takes a tragedy and can make a triumph out of it. How does God, you see, in the natural course of events, a tragedy is a tragedy. It is heartbreak. It is devastating. But when God adds something extra to the pocket, when he adds something extra to the equation, something that is outside of the natural course of events, God can take a tragedy and can make a triumph out of it. He can do that which is extra natural, supernatural, miraculous, because with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Yes, give the Lord praise. God did the impossible, and he still does. See, God can take a destroyed life, a life that has been destroyed, a life that has been destroyed by circumstance or didn't been destroyed by family heritage, or a life that has been destroyed or dysfunctional because of abuse or something that has happened in the past. God can take that destroyed life, and he can add something extra to it. He can breathe on it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that creative life of Almighty God breathes something extra into that destroyed life, it becomes a life that sings the praises and glory of Almighty God. Why? Because God still does the impossible. He still does the impossible. God can take a callous, cold, bitter heart. Yeah, a callous, cold, bitter, unforgiving heart. And he can breathe into it the grace and the mercy and the love of God Almighty. And that callous, cold, bitter heart can turn into one that offers grace and mercy and forgiveness themselves. Why? Because when God adds something extra to the equation, that which is impossible with man becomes possible with God. The virgin birth reminds us that God did the impossible and that he still does. This week I had the occasion to, for insurance purposes, talk about impossible. Yeah, for insurance purposes, this week I had to go back and read through and gather some information on the last episode that I had, the one November 9th of 2016. And it is interesting when you read the admission diagnosis and what was going on, the paralysis in the arms and legs, all of what was going on there without rehearsing it completely. For those of you that are in the room who do not know, in 2016, 3 days after having reconstruction surgery on my vocal cords, I had what the doctor that came into the room, he said this: your body was having a massive stroke. I was drawn on one side. I was completely paralyzed and paralyzed on the other side. I was completely disoriented. The best medical advice later, the best medical research that they can say is that very likely it was a fat embolism from that reconstruction surgery. He said your body was having a, here's what the doctor said, your body was having a massive stroke and then it just stopped. So what is interesting to read is all of that admission diagnosis and all of what was going on. And then to read report after report, read the MRI report and it is normal. Read the blood report and it is normal. Read the blood pressure report and it is normal. Read the neurological report and it is normal. Read the physical report and it is normal. Read the physical therapy report and it is normal. Why is that? Because God adds something extra to the equation, and what is impossible to man becomes possible for God. Yes. So, Pastor, what does that have to do with me this morning, right here in this circumstance this morning? I believe in my heart, I know in my heart, there's some individuals here this morning that are facing some impossible things. There may be some that you haven't even, that you haven't told anyone about, that you haven't spoken to anyone about. Or it may be something that you've shared with a few, or it may be something that everybody knows. But what I want you to know this morning is during this Christmas season, when you think of the virgin birth, one of the things I want you to remember, because that's what we're doing through this look at the incarnation, is we're reminding ourselves of things we may have overlooked before. And what I want you to know this morning is this, is when you think of the virgin birth, God did the impossible, and he still does. And he still does. So this morning, if you are here, I just have a sense this morning there's some individuals that are here this morning that you need God to add something extra. You may not even know what it is. It may be an answer to a dilemma that you're in. It may be something to do with your finances. It may be something to do with you physically. Maybe physically something's going on in your life. Maybe something to do with relationships. Maybe your marriage, or maybe there's a relationship with a child or a grandchild. You just need God to do something extra. And I'm telling you this morning, he did, and he does, and he will, because he is the God of the impossibilities. The God of the impossibilities. So my desire and my prayer this morning, as we kind of close this message down, is this: if you're here this morning, this is an open altar call this morning. If you need God to do something extra, you need God to move in an extraordinary way, an extra natural way, a supernatural way in your life in some area. This morning, I just invite you to stand to your feet and just walk down here to the front. I'm just going to pray with you. Would you close your eyes right now? Father God, I just come to you right now in this moment. Lord, in this moment right now, I pray that you would come. I know there's some individuals that are facing some impossibilities. Some that are facing some economic impossibilities. Some that are facing some relational impossibilities. Some, Lord, that are facing some physical impossibilities, and they need you to do what only you can do. Man can't do, and doctors can't do, and medicine can't do, and social workers can't do. All of those things are great. They need you to breathe on it by your Holy Spirit and to bring that life to it that only you can bring. So this morning, Lord God, I ask you by your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts right now. And Lord, encourage them as they stand up in just a minute and walk down, God, that you're going to do what only you can do for them. I thank you and I praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need God to breathe into your situation, I just ask you to get up and come down this morning. I'm just going to pray over you. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know what's going on in your life. You know what it is that you need God to do. As they come, can I ask someone in the congregation to come and stand with each one of these? Nobody should have to stand at the altar alone. Yeah, just come and stand with them. Just put a hand on their shoulder, a hand on their back. You do understand, don't you? That's part of what God does when he moves in the impossible. One of the things he does is he brings people along beside us. And so this morning, if you need God to do the impossible. Yes, the impossible. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to ask you all across the congregation, would you just stand with me? Would you just stand with me and reach your hand this way? Jalen, I'm going to ask you to come if you will. We're just going to lay hands and we're just going to pray, breathe, Holy Spirit, do the impossible. We don't have to know what the impossibility is in your life. We don't have to know what it is. God knows. He knows how to do the impossible. Would you just stretch your hands? We're just going to take just a moment and pray here. Yes. Thank you. Come on, sing it this morning. Yes, if you know it. Yes, yes. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that in every life that was represented along here and in every life that is standing here, God, we know that you time and time and time again, we acknowledge how faithful you have been, God, and we trust you, Lord, that you weren't only the God of miracles past, but that you still do the impossible and that you are working the impossible in lives today. We thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, we thank on the virgin birth, we remember God did the impossible and he still does. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you listen to me this morning? Listen, this Christmas season, when you think on the birth of Jesus Christ, let it remind you that he did the impossible and he still does. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Remember, adults, even if it's not your normal Wednesday night, you're not normally able to make it. If you can make that extra effort this week, we'd love for you to be with us. We're going to do Christmas carols, coffee, hot chocolate, and Christmas desserts, and a couple of the fun things. So come and be with us. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.